You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Number with me, Kevin the Moscow-Mush Middleton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow-Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/inthatnumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 225. Today, we shall look back over our trip to South Yorkshire from Saturday afternoon. A 2-0 win over bottom of the league side, Rotherham United, which saw us extend this unbeaten run to 23. And more importantly, up to second in the championship, thanks to goals from Jan Bednarek and goal machine Adam Armstrong. We also have to prepare for a double game week. The FA Cup fourth round replay at home to Watford on Tuesday night and back to the Championship with Huddersfield Town, the visitors to St Mary's. We say goodbye to our fan favourite, Charlie Alcaraz, and welcome in David Brooks from Bournemouth as the winter transfer window comes to a close. We'll round up the ins and outs throughout this time and also award our player and goal of the month for January. With me this week, I'm pleased to say, is the returning Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kev, great to have you back. It's been, you know, been a hectic time for you of late, but yeah, how's everything going? You're sounding really good, by the way, I must add.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know, I feel kind of rejuvenated. It's been a busy week. I've had a lot of work to do, and looks like I've got quite a lot to do next week as well. So, yeah, never a dull moment.
Never. But, yeah, like I say, you sound great. It's good to hear you. It's good to have you back on. And I hope, I really do hope I get a chance to see you before you go back.
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, no, it's good to hear you. And, yeah, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been busy as well. I mean, with you guys being out of action, I've had to draft in Super Sub Will Green, of course, who's been doing really well. He's had a lot of positive feedback. I've been seeing Tim because Tim's over here at the moment. He's been doing his travels. I took him to the Silver Lake. So he went. I mean, if you don't know, I mean, Tim's been on his holidays. He's been in Italy for a bit. He went to the San Siro, and then a couple of days later, I took him to the Silver Lake. So.
Call it Estadio del Lago Argento or something.
And I took him to the Isle of Wight, actually, because he'd never been over. So we went over on the Red Jet and spent a day there. which was nice. It was good. Nice day out. And, of course, then he went to Watford and then he went to Rotherham on Saturday. So he's been doing the rounds. But, yeah, I've just been busy, mate. I've been busy trying to watch the Saints and trying to write the shows. And, yeah, you know what it's like.
Yeah. Did you go to a match at the Silver Lake?
No. We just went for a look around and went in trade as well, actually. Rotherham United, then. We took care of business and the unbeaten run goes on. Of course, it's extended to 23 now, up to second. It's been remarkable, hasn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. It's still crazy that if we hadn't have won today, we'd have been languishing in fourth, I suppose. Yeah. And it's taken only Ipswich losing, for us to take that second spot.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that Russell Martin was saying that the players and staff were joking, saying that they're undefeated in 22 at that time. And yet they're fourth in the table. It's just goes to show how difficult this league is. Obviously now it's 23 and up to second, but yeah, it's so competitive, and we really need to keep it going. And we've got a very busy month ahead, which we'll get to in a minute. And you know, more from the Rotherham game coming up. But before we hit the ITN news, please consider showing your support for the show by buying us a coffee. You can do that by visiting buymeacoffee.com/in that number. And our Discord as well. You can come and join us there. Just send us a message, and if you're interested, we will get you in. Kevin, ITN News?
Yeah.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, because it's the end of the window, I thought we'd do things a little different this week, and we'll hit the transfer news first because, you know, that's been the most pressing news this week. Yes, it's all done and dusted. Window closed this past Thursday. The biggest news was not the incomings, Kevin, but the outgoings. And completely unexpected, Charlie Alcaraz completes his move to Juventus on loan until the end of the season. Now, there is a buy option, but that is believed to be in the region of 40 plus million. It does seem like a shrewd bit of business getting him to pen that new deal. But this deal, Kevin, I don't know, it had me scratching my head, firstly, because, you know, it's a great move for him. You can't blame him for, you know, wanting to swap the championship with some European giants and all that, if only for a limited time. But it's a huge chance for him. And then I just thought, well, how does this really affect us? Because he hasn't been in the starting lineup for a while, aside from that Watford game in the Cup, which, let's face it, he wasn't really offering much in that game. So seeing him go shouldn't be that much of a concern. But part of me thinks, you know, we should cash in for him on him because this loan doesn't help us in the slightest, really. In terms of money coming in, it's not going to help. We're not getting his services and we're not getting the money. And it kind of weakens our chances of getting promoted. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a fixed term. So we get around $3 million for this deal. His wages are off the books and, you know, we've got the depth. So it's not an issue. But I don't know, which stance are you taking here?
I mean, what we've seen of him this season has been somewhere between frustrating and dreadful. He's really not been quite the same player that he was last season, despite all the promise and, training with the Argentina squad and everything. If we were discussing a $35 million, I think that is the price tag, wasn't it? Move away to Juventus. I would have said, yeah, we'll take that money. That's fine. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of the worst of both worlds. You've got a really difficult set of fixtures coming up over the next few weeks, and there's going to be a lot of squad rotation. So you can definitely see him playing a part in that. And for $3 million, is it really worth it? I mean, you know, I suppose we've got another midfielder in Joe Rothwell. And I mean, he's not exactly a replacement for Alcaraz, but it does increase the depth, and then we've got Aribo coming back from AFCON.
David Brooks also coming in.
David Brooks, yeah, I mean, okay, I mean, he's the so-called Teller replacement winger that we've been waiting for, that Russell Martin was expecting to bring in. Yeah, again, that's another interesting signing. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of indifferent, if I'm being perfectly honest.
I like him, and I don't think he's been dreadful by any. I mean, there has been games where he hasn't really done much, but there have been games where he's played well also. And I just think with him in the team, we do have a better chance of getting promoted. But also at the moment, we've said it so many times, like Stuart Armstrong deserves to be playing over him at the moment. And I've also heard that a lot of people have said that he's not really gelling with this system that we're playing at the moment. So getting him off the books, getting 3 million in and, you know, just leaving him out is not a bad thing. It does seem unlikely that Juve will pay that 40 odd million to keep him, but it is understood that he would return if we get promoted. Yeah, I just think if it's, I mean, what happens if we don't get promoted? What happens then? And Juventus don't pay. What does that mean? Somebody else would come in for him? I mean, I don't know. But yeah, if he's not been a part of the current setup, and it makes sense for all parties right now, and if Juventus come calling, then your head's going to be turned. But then I just think, you know, promotion is worth around 100 million to the Premier League. Does him leaving damage our chances of making the promotion? I don't really think it does, you know, currently, because we're still winning games. You know, if he stays, yes, it's more depth. But in that sense, I guess we've swapped Alcaraz for Brooks and Rothwell. We've got two players in his place, so... Yeah, I don't know. I'm like you. I still like him. I still want him to be a part of him. I mean, he's a fan favourite, isn't he? It's just a sad. Mm. It was just unexpected as well. I do have some comments from our friends on the Discord. I would like to read you if you are interested, Kevin.
I've probably read them already, but thanks.
Yeah, but for the purpose of this podcast, you have not.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. So this is from Stufa. He said, "I'm slightly disappointed as he's clearly a great player, both now to cut his teeth in the Championship, but also if we get back to the Premier League. However, I trust Russell Martin. He's seen something which made him select other players ahead of Alcaraz. So the likes of Stu, Che, Smallbone, Aribo. Then let's make 20 plus million and move on. We do have a financial fair play to think about, and balancing the books is sensible." Andy has said, "I hope he learns a lot from going there and can develop as a player. I've read that Juventus will pay less to Saints the more game time Charlie gets. So hopefully he gets plenty of game time at a high level. But with the pretty hefty option to buy amount, they are put off keeping him. So can he join us back in the Premier League next season?" Yeah, as I said, I don't think they're going to pay that, are they? They're just getting him for a few months and seeing where he fits in their system. New Jersey Scott has said, I guess we're maintaining the if it ain't broken, consider fixing it approach that we've all mocked. Know what our four Saints losses have in common? No Charlie in the starting 11. I get the correlation and the causation aren't the same, but his impact on the team seems to be a whole is greater than the sum of its parts kind of thing. I get the sense that he may do things that irk coaches, but his creativity and contributions to attack have been valuable. I'm concerned that an adequate replacement may not exist on the roster."
I think saying that without Charlie, we've seen this huge unbeaten run. He hasn't really been involved in it at all in the grand scheme of things, and we've been just fine. Yeah, so I mean, those four games were a long time ago. I mean, we have to look, it's a different kind of era of the Russell Martin reign. I don't know. I think, you know, only if we get a couple of really horrific injuries will we regret that, I think.
Yeah, and that's always the thing, isn't it? Tim, our very own Tim, has said, "It's a net negative. He's a valuable player and we need to be promoted. He can help us get promotion. Without him, we have less of a chance." So that just goes down to depth, really, doesn't it? But in the channel says, "I've seen lots of people on Twitter saying he's been bang average, which I think is needlessly harsh. As New Jersey Scott says, we haven't lost when he started. And again, correlation isn't causation. But when you watch Charlie, there's always intensity, which you can't necessarily say for other players. Sadly, though, I think the intensity is what's cost him his place, as our build-up play is very methodical and patient and not a lot of chaos. Chaotic moments are when Charlie is at his best, i.e. Plymouth at home. Overall, it's sad to see a very talented player go out the door. But as it stands, it's not permanent. Financially, it's a good deal for the club, and Russell Martin would have sanctioned it. So you have to trust the process at this point." It's a very, very sensible comment there from in the channel.
Yeah, I mean, something we haven't really discussed is what it means for Charlie himself. I mean, is he going to be a better player because of it? Is he going to get playing time in that Juventus squad or not?
Well, I hope so. I mean, you'd say at this stage he's getting a good move for himself, isn't he? It's what he wants to do. But then again, yeah, might not work out that way. There's a lot of lone players that think they're doing the right thing and don't get the chance to shine. It could have the different effect on him. It could make him, you know, completely knock his confidence down if he's not getting in the team, or if he is getting in the team and not playing well, causing them, you know, to lose games. Then, I mean, we saw Mason Holgate, what he did yesterday with his new Sheffield United side. That didn't work very well for him. So Lord O'Benny says, "Most exciting player we've had in years. Love the weird way that we signed him, and I was really glad he stayed with us in the Championship, and I'll be sad if he goes. but we're getting a decent profit for him. And if he does go, if he stays, he will keep a we will keep a fantastic player. It's a win-win. So that's the situation. So a lot of people, I don't know, it's kind of mixed as we say it. But yeah, some really interesting thoughts. So thanks for all your comments. Anything else do you want to say on
Just that it is a bit of a weird case with Alcaraz. So yeah, like so the weird way we signed him, and the fact that we gave him a new contract in the summer for no apparent reason.
If you want to buy him now, you're going to have to pay a lot of money for him, which is pretty much what Juventus are going to have to do if they want to keep him. Another signing, Russell Martin continuing his cherry picking. David Brooks in, saw a bit of him yesterday. Good move for the short term.
Yeah, I was kind of quite surprised with how excited Saints fans have been about this signing.
Me too.
When it was announced. Was it deadline day or the day before?
Day before, yeah.
Everyone on Twitter going crazy. Like, it's the best signing we've had in decades. I maybe wouldn't go that far, but... That excitement was a bit contagious. Good to see him come on. I thought he looked pretty tasty yesterday, and gives us another option whilst Dozy and Camaldine are out. Although
Dozy on the bench.
Russell Martin alluded to the fact that Dozy, he's sort of touch and go whether he's fit or not, and so the result meant that didn't necessarily need to bring him on, and he can rest him for next week. So, and I think he said that Camaldine's going to be coming back soon as well. So, there's going to be a lot of competition for those places. But, Brooksy definitely tossed his hat into the ring yesterday.
Absolutely, but there's a lot of matches, isn't there? There's like weekend, midweek, weekend, midweek for the rest of the month.
Whole of February, yeah.
Yeah, so he'll certainly get his chance. Ryan Finnegan has departed after 11 years. He's been on loan at Shrewsbury Town this season, and he's now joined Blackpool on a permanent. Goodbye, Ryan Finnegan.
Yeah, there's been quite a few players like that, haven't there?
Mason Holgate, this situation here, I mean, he's gone. He's gone to Sheffield United on loan. Not a big shock. Had probably one good performance, I'd say, in those five games that he played. So we're not missing out on that. But in depth terms, we're going with three natural centre-backs between now and the season's end.
Now that you mention it, yes. One of them's Jack fucking Stevens. So, yeah, you've got to hope that centre-back pairing is just going to continue because, they're brilliant together.
They are.
Feathers and THB, yeah.
Well, I've got a quote from Russell Martin on this, actually, because he was asked. So I'll read out what he said. We've got three top centre halves, and one of them is going to be frustrated at not getting any playing time. If we lose someone, we have people more than capable of stepping in there. James Bree can play there. Shay Charles can play there. And Ryan Manning did it for a season for us at Swansea. I don't see that being a huge issue, to be honest. I think we are really comfortable with what we've got. Okay, so two of those are fullbacks, right? I can understand the point that Shay Charles can drop in at the seamlessly.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the greatest. He's not going to, you know, be as good as one of those three. But Ryan Manning plays there, or James Bree, then we're light on fullbacks. Say if we lose Ryan Manning to an injury, and we lose a centre back to an injury, then we've got no one covering Ryan Manning. Surely, I mean, if James Bree plays for Ryan Manning, then we've got no spare centre back. Then, so yeah, I do think it's a problem, and I do think it was overlooked. Well, I don't think it's overlooked. I think they did this on purpose. Because, I mean, we don't know what's going on with Holgate, but he must have been frustrated at not getting any play time.
I think we were frustrated with him as well.
It
hasn't really shown any of the promise was made when he arrived. He's got a mistake in him as well. But the idea of Ryan Manning at centre-back puts shivers down my spine. I mean, he's poor enough defensively as it is.
Yeah, put him in the centre. Right in the centre. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah, I think it's an issue, if I'm being honest. But
maybe it's something that's been overlooked because, I mean, you've got so much competition for midfield positions all over the midfield. But now you mentioned it, just three centre-backs, that's rough.
Between now and the end of the season. Dare I say that we have to get, like, Nico Lawrence there, or who's not going to be ready yet because he's been recalled, or Dinel Simiu or something like that to come back as a, you know, as an emergency.
Recall the anchor or DCC.
All that. Yeah, there is that. But yeah, There is another one that's coming slightly under the radar. Usman Diallo is joined from Porto B. He'll link up with the under-21s, and apparently he's been scouted by Man United and Brighton this season. So, yeah, it's a short-term loan, but I think things will be assessed in the summer about agreeing, you know, a long-term deal. So we'll look out for that one. The two things that I'm really, really happy about with this window, apart from the fact that we didn't get another centre-back and we let one go out, Kyle Walker-Peters and Shay Adams are still here to help strengthen our chances of this promotion push, which is, in my opinion, it's massive. It's so huge. Because we did hear rumours about Kyle Walker-Peters going, and that, yeah, that just nearly floored me. I thought, if that happens, then, yeah, we've just shot ourselves in the foot there. Shay, not so much. I mean, I still wanted Shay to stay. I'm glad he has, and he's playing. He's playing all the time. He's playing well at the moment. But they're both here. And that's really, really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Shay went? I mean, then we'd be... We wouldn't have a recognised striker at all, really, would we?
Sekumara,
that's,
yeah.
That's about it. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, he scored, what, 3 goals this season? Yeah. Mm. No, we need Shay.
Yeah, we do. I'm glad. Are we... looking at it on the whole, Kev, this window and the squad that we're going with between now and May, do you think we're lacking in any other areas at all?
Again, time will tell. Yeah, like I said, an injury at centre-back or forward could throw a spanner in the works for us. But, hey, you know, we've got such a big midfield, we can play people out of position. We'll be fine.
That's true. I hope so. Other things as well. We've got Thierry Small has been released. He's gone. That didn't really work. Didn't really see the point in that now. When we signed him, it was like, he's going to be fantastic. It's another Luke Shaw. Not at all. Didn't work.
It was 16, wasn't he, when you signed him?
16 from Everton, yeah.
Mm. And we paid millions for him as well.
Yeah. Big, big project, and it hasn't really worked. So something's gone on there, because, I mean, he wasn't really given a chance, was he? But it hasn't gone well at his loan clubs either. So I don't know if it's an attitude problem with him. I'm not sure, but, yeah, it's not worked. Derek Abou as well, another one. He came in from Chelsea at the start of the year. He's joined Harrogate for the rest of the season. So good luck to him. Not a player, but in a coaching role. We've got Andrew Sermon. He's back in a coaching role for the under-18s. So, yeah, it's great, great to have him back.
Yeah, I mean, somebody mentioned it on the Discord, and I thought they were joking that we'd signed Andrew Sermon. Harkening me back just brought me right back to that relegation season in 04-05 when he broke through into the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, good. I mean, he's an academy product, isn't he?
Bournemouth Academy.
I thought he was ours, but...
He could be right. I don't know.
Definitely knows the system.
No, he was. Anyway. Yeah, he was ours. You are right, yeah. Mm. And he's been at Bournemouth for the under-18s coaching as well, so...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, good. Nice little step up for him.
Another cherry picking.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to move on to the fixtures, the February fixtures then, Kev. Busy month for football, which is what we've just said. Not helped by next week's replay against Watford. Not really what we needed, but, you know, are we going to be ready for this crucial month? I'm going to reel this out, Kev. The 3rd of Feb, Rotherham, we finished with. Tuesday the 6th, Watford at home, that FA Cup replay. Saturday the 10th against Huddersfield at home. And then Tuesday the 13th, away at Bristol, followed by Friday the 16th, just 3 days later, away at West Brom. And then Tuesday the 20th, home to Hull, followed by the Saturday, Millwall at home. And a potential FA Cup fifth round trip to Anfield at the end of all that. Incredibly tough, you know, weekend and midweek right the way through this 29-day month, by the way. Not 28 days this year, because we are in a leap year. So that's Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday, Saturday.
In this leap year, I hope that that will be the springboard that will leap up back into the Premiership.
Yeah. Yes.
Premiership? Premier League.
Premier League. Yeah, everyone says Premiership still. That's weird, but yeah. It's like December, isn't it? It's like these quick games. They've just reeling them off. You know, Ashton Gate and Hawthorns just 3 days apart. That's going to be, you know, that's going to be tricky. But you got those tricky home ties as well at Hull and Millwall. It's a brutal one, if I'm being honest. And that's not without mentioning the FA Cup games or game.
I think I'd say it's more brutal than December. Did we have a little bit of a break in December even?
I don't think we did, but then we had 31 days.
Like maybe because we got knocked out of the League Cup, or maybe we had a little while off. So it didn't seem as brutal as this is. I mean, this is literally for the whole of February. God, how many games is that?
You're including the cup games. Seven games. And that's
eight if we get
through. If we beat Watford, yeah, it'll be eight. Eight games in 29 days. It's going to be tough. But that's the way we like it. no pausing, no stopping. It's just football all the way.
Yeah.
February is now here, which means January is over. And you know what that means, Kev? It means we have to award our player and goal of the month for January. Now, we took man of the match for every game in January, and we came up with the four that was quite an easy one to select this week, this month, actually. So, Kai Walker-Peters, Adam Armstrong, Shay Adams, and Stuart Armstrong. Do you know the winner?
I don't know. Do you?
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Do I? Yeah, I know the winner, yeah. So, in fourth place, we got Shay Adams, who took 4%. Kind of harsh, because, I mean, I think you said at the start of them... not the start of the month, but in the middle of the month, that he's probably playing his best spell since joining us. To only pick up 4%, I mean, he's been scoring for fun. Vital for him staying here, I think. Third place, Adam Armstrong, 14%. Second place was Kai Walker-Peters with 39%. And the winner with 43% is, of course, it's Stuart Armstrong, who's just been, he's just been brilliant lately. So, yeah, everyone, thanks for voting on that. He got my vote also, but then again, he usually does when he's in a poll. And the goal of the month was slightly more difficult. We gave you the option of Ryan Fraser's second goal against Warsaw. That was the one that he curled low into the bottom corner from the edge of the box. We had the Mara goal against Sheffield Wednesday. That was a team goal. That was the one that, I don't know if you remember it, we were passing it one touch, moving around, and Mara was just there in the centre and just tapped one in. But the build-up play was amazing. And of course, we had the Flynn Downs pile driver against Swansea, his first goal for the club. And just recently, Stuart Armstrong's goal against Watford, which kept us in the cup. Any ideas of the winner on this one?
Downs's.
That's what did you vote for?
I can't remember. It might have been that.
Okay. Well, in fourth place was Mara's goal, which is, I think, is harsh. I think maybe people have forgotten how good that goal was. But please go back and watch that again, because that didn't deserve to have 11% of the votes. That was so good. The team goal, excellent. It's a different goal that we normally score. I was like, I think if you remember back to the pod when we were talking about that, I said it was just like watching Brazil. It was great. It was really good. Third place was Ryan Fraser's second one against Warsaw with 26% of the votes. Second place was Stuart Armstrong's brilliant low shot against Watford. And the winner, of course, it was Flynn Downs. It was his first 32% of the votes. So, yeah. Joe Rebo, Kevin, have you been checking out his AFCON adventures?
Yes. I did watch the opening few matches, but I mean, he didn't really feature in those at all. I think he came on in that quarterfinal against Angola, didn't he, for the last few minutes?
Yeah,
for minutes, as yeah. Well as Paul Onoachu, who managed 60 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so they're through to the semis now, so that was great. 1-0 win over Angola. He didn't start, as you mentioned, come on the 87th minute to protect the lead. So they will now play South Africa in the semi-final on Wednesday the 7th. The other semi, by the way, is Ivory Coast and the Democratic Republic of Congo, Congo DR, whatever you want to say. But,
Absolute fucking scandal that Ivory Coast is still in it after the shocking group stage shine just scraped through in that, as the fourth best third place team.
Yeah, they were third in Nigeria's group, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they had the shock. Was it... Equatorial Guinea,
yeah,
incredible. And yeah, I hope they lose. I want Congo to win.
You're not going to be cheering on Aribo?
No, I mean against Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast, I want Congo and Nigeria in the final.
And then you want Aribo to captain the Nigeria side that lifts the trophy.
He's not captain. He's no, barely getting a cap. I come on as a substitution and head in the winner in the last minute or something.
That would be nice.
Interestingly, with this AFCON, I don't know if you saw, but the quarterfinalists for this tournament, none of them appeared in the quarterfinals of the previous tournament.
Oh, that's probably never happened before, has it?
I don't know. For the stats people. But it'd be weird if it was a Euros or a World Cup, wouldn't it? And none of the previous quarterfinalists got to quarterfinals.
On to the loans then. Nothing really to go on because we've sent all our loans back now. And not really much to discuss. As I say, Paul Nwachi has been in Nigeria. Nathan Teller, I just want to talk about him. I know he's not a loanee, but I did see that he scored both goals for Leverkusen on Saturday afternoon. So he seems to be doing very well over there. So well done, Nathan Teller. Under-21s, they last played on Monday the 29th at Leicester City training grounds. They won 2-1, both goals from Luke Pearce, and their next game is against Man United on Friday the 9th, and that's at Snow's Stadium. The women, they are playing Crystal Palace at St Mary's on Sunday the 4th, which is today, and they kick off very, very shortly. The match they play next is also against Man United. It's that fifth round FA Cup tie on Sunday the 11th, and that's at the Silver Lake. All tickets for that game, by the way, are sold out. Under-18s, they played Spurs on Friday the 2nd at Staplewood, and they lost 6-3. Not good for the under-18s. I hope Andrew Sermon wasn't involved in that one. A brace from Prince Bachman, and the other was an OG, so not good. They next play Norwich away on Saturday the 10th, and that's at the Lotus Training Centre. Okay, Kevin, then we go on to Rotherham United from the... Is it the ASIL New York Stadium, or is it the ASIL? I don't know.
I really want to call it the ASIL Stadium.
We just say the New York Stadium anyway. But yeah, as I mentioned, we took care of business, and the match was won in the opening half, really. A rare goal from Jan Bednarek on his milestone day, a 200th appearance, 200th appearance as well for Stu. Mm. And yet another from Adam Armstrong to secure the vital 3 points, lift us back above Leeds and Ipswich into second with a game in hand over Leeds, by the way, and Leicester. So that's 23 games. That's the total on this unbeaten streak. Still some 11 points off of Leicester. But, you know, win that game in hand and we're down to 8. So we're doing everything we can. And as I said, this month, crucial, with the games coming thick and fast. This could make or break us, Kevin.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? 17 games to go. And how many did we say? 8 of them. Okay, the 2 cup games. But yeah, so a third of those games are in February.
That's true. Make or break. This is it. This is the time. Starters then. Russell Martin rung the changes in that FA Cup tie at Watford like we expected. So we could field a stronger team for the more important task of this championship. And he returned to that trusty 11 that dispatched of Swansea in our last league game. This is it, isn't it? This is the side. I mean, you can't really change what's working. We still have the likes of Adozie to come back, who, as I say, did make the bench. Sulemana, who's nearing a return. But no space for the new boys, Joe Rothwell or David Brooks, although, you know, they did get some minutes off the bench. But, yeah, you can't change this lineup at the moment. It just picks itself.
Yeah, if it was down to me, I wouldn't be making too many changes for the Watford game. just so we can swap out the players to rest them when we need, after they've done the job rather than before. And firefighting with substitutions. But yeah, if it isn't broke, don't listen to Carl Anker then for a second. Don't listen to Rasmus Ankersen. Listen to Carl Anker, but don't listen to Rasmus Ankersen. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I wasn't necessarily expecting this full side because you think Rotherham, weakest side in the championship. They're fairly unimpressive when we played them last time. Really lucky to come away with the point. We didn't make the most of our chances. Their goalkeeper had an outstanding performance to keep them in it. This time he was just as good. Absolutely brilliant. I don't know what he's doing there still. I heard in the commentary that they took away his phone for the January transfer window, so no one would sign him. I don't know if that was a joke or if there's some truth in that. I mean, you got to think that, yeah, how bad would they be if they didn't?
Well, it certainly would have been more than two if he wasn't in net yesterday, that's for sure. I think he got man of the match as well, didn't he? Which does say something. If you're at the bottom of the league, you only had two goals, and that was because of him. We started early, which settled those nerves, which is always nice. Jan Bednarek nodding in from a Stuart Armstrong corner after Rotherham failed to clear. But yeah, that was... would you say that was lucky that we ended up like that?
A little bit. I mean, even before that, though, I thought Shea Adams was trying to beat Shane Long's record from the kickoff. He was offside, though. But Johansson rushed him and managed to block it. But that would have been an even more amazing start, wouldn't it?
I mean, I did see that Rotherham had a chance as well quite early on after that 1-0, after they went down a goal. They had a chance from Jordan Hugo. We had it... I don't know, reading the reports on this game, it kind of said that he missed a golden opportunity to level, but I don't think it was. It was kind of like a half chance. I mean, if he had scored that would have been some goal, some finish. But, you know, you're not going to get many chances against Saints, and you have to take them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the XG would have been for that chance, but it would have been in the hundreds or thousands, wouldn't it?
The whole 0.1 was because of that. But, yeah... But we controlled the possession like usual, didn't we? And created a lot of chances. And Ryan Fraser hit the post from a beaut. That would have been some goal as well. Still creating the chances. But Victor Johansson's just showing up once again.
Yeah, he thwarted quite a few of those efforts in that first half. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say we completely dominated possessions to be expected, but... you know, we didn't have, it wasn't like against Swansea where it was just a non-stop barrage of chances. We had a few decent chances, but Hansen came to the rescue for all of them. 1-0 is not a great scoreline against a side like this. So I was maybe not nervous, but I was a little bit frustrated that the few chances we had, if we didn't put them away, we could have been punished like we were at home. That goal towards the end of the first half pretty much sealed it there and then.
Yeah, and that was a long ball, wasn't it, from Taylor Harwood-Bellis. That was becoming accustomed to this Taylor Harwood-Bellis pass now. And Ryan Fraser did wonderfully there, like, lovely little back heel. And,
so
and
cheeky.
Adam Armstrong finishes it. Johansson almost got to it, but just underneath him and... Yeah, 2-0. Game over, I guess. And that sealed the deal, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it takes either, you know, it took a Bednarek header and a 2-on-1 to beat Johansson. For the rest of it, he shut out pretty much everything else. So, yeah, I mean, going to the second half, there was a slight nervy period where we lost control a little bit and Rotherham started building up a bit more. They squeezed the last drops of energy that they had out against us, but when that fizzled out, it wasn't really going anywhere at that point, was it?
It certainly wasn't. And then if you look at the half time stats, Kev,
77% possession, 6 shots, 5 on target, 3 clear cut chances, 8 corners. Rotherham mustered 4 shots, 1 on target.
Yeah, that does surprise me that they managed quite as many. It didn't seem like that.
Yeah, I think they got a second shot on target, didn't they, in the second half. But, Bazza, not particularly
absolutely
troubled.
That's where you like it, isn't it? We did see David Brooks introduced on the 74th minute for Ryan Fraser. Jay Rothwell also on for Flynn Downs. Some really positive comments from his cameo. But what did you make of it, Kevin? And what do you think he can offer us moving forward?
Again, it's difficult to see. You'd want to see, maybe not full 90 minutes, but you want to see him starting. I think we'll probably see that next week. I thought he was impressive. I mean, he had that little bit of skill on the touchline, putting it over his head like he is Letizia.
Had a nutmeg as well.
Yeah, nutmeg. And he had a chance right at the death from that 1-2 with Mara that he managed to put just over. But yeah, definitely injected a little bit of threat into the side. And good passing, really strong on the ball. Yeah, I like the look of him.
That is good. Yeah, he only had 15 minutes, but he did look quite sharp. He say great passer. Looks like he makes the right decisions, more often than not. And he attempted just 13 passes and he completed them all. So, you do the maths on that one, Kevin. But I think That was 100% pass completion.
Been a while since I watched this.
Joe Rothwell, Kevin, didn't play a lot on his debut against Swansea. Handed the start in the cup, and it wasn't great, was it, against Watford? And he admitted that he's been scratching his head over the tactics, and it's going to take him some time to get used to things and settle in. But what did you make of him this time? Again, not a lot to go on, but it's important that we do see some improvement. And do you think we saw that? I mean, I guess against a weaker side like Rotherham, it would have helped his performance still.
Yeah, sure. You think, maybe putting him on at half time might have been a decent idea. But again, he was strong, good at beating defenders, created a bit of an opportunity as well. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm going to reserve judgment on both of those.
And effectively, he's not going to be starting, is he? But he is the replacement for Alcaraz. That's what we've got moving forward. So he better be, settling in quicker, and he better be, knowing the system as quick as he can, because we're going to need him.
Yeah, I think he initiated that attack that resulted in the Stuart Armstrong cross that didn't find anyone. That was quite promising. That's, the most memorable moment of his appearance yesterday.
Yeah, I do take your point that we do need to see him. Yeah. We probably should have seen him at half time because we were 2-0 up at that point. He needs to settle in and watch, what a great chance to get some more action against a team that's bottom of the league and you're already 2-0 up, and just really, really, see what we've got with him. It would have been nice to see a little bit more of him.
Yeah, and, rest. Yeah.
Rest Lynn Downs for Watford.
Who did he come on for?
He come on for Downs. So,
Downs, yeah.
But yeah, these are the away days that you want, isn't it? Plenty of chances. You keep the opposition quiet, keep a clean sheet, 3 points with no problems. Score should have been a little bit more clinical, but Victor Johansson was a giant in the net. And I don't know, Adam Armstrong is what, he could have had a hat trick. He was, if it wasn't for Johansson, Adam Armstrong was doing all the right things that he normally would, but unfortunately, so was Victor Johansson. But yeah, ninth clean sheet for Gavin Bazunu as well. And that's how you want your keeper to perform on an away day as well. Not asked to do much, like you said, but you had a big save at the end of each half. So nice game for Gavin Bazunu. Perfect.
Yeah, getting his gloves dirty.
couldn't maintain the performance of the first half. Again, like Swansea won, but it was solid. It was comfortable. Could and should have had more. Johansson was immense again, but we're doing what we have to do, aren't we? And I just want to say as well that the 2,500 travelling fans were loud and proud again. So, yeah, that was great to hear. And it was a great win, great 3 points. And let's just have a go at Leicester now.
Yeah, that we need to set our sights higher now and keep
It's amazing
keep
how a couple of weeks ago people were saying, no, let's just forget about Ipswich and just keep winning and and see where we go. But now we're above Ipswich.
Yeah, I mean, we said that they'd blink at some point, and it appears that that's happened now.
You've got any stats?
Yeah.
Good, I love your stats.
What do you want? So it was 77 at half-time, wasn't it? at full-time, 74%.
It did drop a little bit.
Yeah, and we had a few chances, 10 shots in total to Rotherham's 8. We had 7 shots on target.
That's pretty good conversion rate.
They only managed 2. What else do we want?
XG? We had 1.1, relatively low, but they had 0.3, which is lower. so, yeah, the score probably does it justice. But you think about some of those chances that we had and could have converted, should have converted. It wasn't, if it wasn't for Victor Johansson, it would have been a lot higher. And that 1.1 would have looked about right, and we would have won the game a lot more convincingly than we did 2-0. But yeah,
One other thing, I can't say I noticed it during the match because it looked fine to me watching the game online, but both Russell Martin and the players, after, I think I heard an interview with Jan Bednarik after the match, all complaining about the state of the pitch.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah, rough, nasty pitch. So that doesn't lend itself well to that possession-based style of football because it's just difficult to.
Do you think they did
that
on purpose? Just rough it up a bit, make it difficult for them to play the ball on the deck.
I think it's just a shitty pitch, mate. It's a league. It's a League One pitch in the Championship.
It's not a League One stadium, though. That's a lovely looking stadium.
Yeah, and
it's only small. It's only like 12 to 15, isn't it? 1,000, obviously.
Ah, okay. Because it seems like the Saints fans filled about half of the stage.
2,000 of them. Yeah, it wasn't that far off, that, was it?
Yeah. It's about
a quarter. It's only 12,000. Yeah, 12,021 to be precise. So, yeah. Yeah, so up to second. 29 played, 118, drawn 7, lost 4, and 61 points now. 1 point ahead of Leeds with a game in hand, and now 2 points clear of Ipswich, who they lost again, of course, as we mentioned, to Preston. They lost to Maidstone in the cup also, which is not ideal. They haven't won in the league since Sunderland on the 13th of January. In fact, only 2 wins in the last 9 league games. So lots of draws for Ipswich and allowed us to leapfrog them. Long may that continue. Russell Martin had said, I really enjoyed the performance today on a really tough pitch. To have the control we did and the big chances, their goalkeeper made some brilliant saves and we should have scored a couple more goals. The level of care, detail and love they showed for each other and on the ball meant they looked after each other. Amazing. They fought so hard and ran so hard out of possession. They dealt with some direct balls from the goalkeeper and set pieces. Rotherham have some really good results and performances against top teams, especially here. So I'm really proud of the players to show both sides of the game. Yeah. Man of the match.
God, it's a difficult one. Because it was a good performance, wasn't it? It wasn't outstanding. It wasn't brilliant. It was good. We got the job done. I don't think there was anyone in that side that had a bad performance. Maybe difficult to pick. I mean, not many players sort of flying under the radar. Everyone
a lot of people were bit. Quiet. I think not necessarily bad, but quiet. I mean, Shea wasn't really busy. Kyle Walker-Peters didn't particularly have a busy game, but again, not bad. They were good still.
Fuck it, I'm just going to give it to Bednarik because he got the goal and his 200th performance, and him and Harwood Bellis, they're both doing it now. They're getting. I don't know who they learned it from, but it's a brilliant little move to look like you're going to play it back or across, and then just hoof it up over the midfield. And hope someone runs onto it. Saw that time again in that match, and I thought it was just brings a little flourish that the sideways and backwards passing misses sometimes. But Bednarik, good solid performance in defence, got the goal, really nice header, and 200 appearances.
Brilliant. Yeah, you got to play those long balls though on a pitch like that. So that's the way you do it. As you said, so many good performers. And for me, I'm not going to do what you do. You usually wait for someone to say something, then you go for the other one that's in contention. But I had both Jan Bednarik and Taylor Howard-Bellis down. And I'm not going to do that. I'm still going to give it to Jan Bednarik because I think he was brilliant. I think he was the best player.
Okay.
200 appearances, you said. He got a goal, got the clean sheet as well. And yeah, well, he didn't put a foot wrong, did he, all day? He had 95% pass accuracy as well, 10 defensive actions, most touches, most passes, most carries. Yeah, just a warrior. And so, yeah, he gets it from me as well. So 2 out of 2 for Bednarik. Excellent. Super. Yes. Moving forward then, Watford, FA Cup fourth round replay on Tuesday, the 6th of February, at 7:45 kickoff at St Mary's. Kev, all eyes on the starting 11. Russell Martin went with the wholesale changes at Vicarage Road. Now, he defended that decision. I actually had the discussion with Will last week about it. But with a jam-packed month, we'd expect more changes. And you tripped to Anfield up for grabs. And, you know, we were talking about it as well. What are Watford going to do? You know, are they seriously going to be interested in fielding their best 11? Or are they going to concede this one and concentrate on the Leeds? I think the odds will be against us at Anfield, both teams, regardless. So basically what me and Will were talking about was if he defended his decision to play that team against Watford at Vicarage Road, then surely he's got to play that same team again if it was the right decision that he thinks. Which is probably what I guess we're going to see that again. We're going to see the likes of Tyler Diblin. We're going to see the likes of Jaden Magoma and like that. But then, you know, it's a replay. So you really have to go for it. And, you know, that Watford podcast that I was on, I've listened to their thoughts about the game, and they have just both, I mean, pretty much Watford fans are saying, look, let's just let Saints have this one. We don't want to go to Anfield. We don't want any more games this month. We want to concentrate on getting into that playoff position. I think that's what Watford are, well, that's what the Watford fans are saying. But is that what you want to see from Saints? Or do you want to see them just fucking go for it? Just put out the strongest team you possibly can and go
for
it?
No, I want to go for it. I want us to do it. Don't think about Liverpool in the next round. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. We've still got this unbeaten run going. We want to keep it up. We want to break the all-time record of 24. We need to beat Watford in order to do it. If we take it to penalties, what happens then? No, I don't want to think about it. We need to beat Watford.
Yeah, I didn't even think about penalties, but yeah. But okay, so what do you want to see in terms of starters? Like, what would impress you? What would you do if you saw the lineup and you thought, yes, Russell, I'm with you here. This is brilliant. This is what I want to see.
I think five changes or less would satisfy me.
So you put Joanna Lumley in goal, or would you go with Gav?
I think that, you know, if that's a strategy, he's going to be consistent with that. He's going to
put
Lumley
in goal.
He pretty
much had a week off, didn't he? He didn't really do much against Rotherham. So how much more rest does he possibly need? He's a goalkeeper, for Christ's sake. Let's put him in. Or is it just about giving minutes to the players that need it and deserve it? Although Lumley wasn't great against
especially
Watford.
After, the way he defended against that free kick, I mean, it all was ridiculous. But, the way he's just... his arms fell off, didn't they? Indefensible. So I probably expect him in goal. If it was up to me, I'd keep Bednarik and Harwood Bellis. The defensive line sort of picks itself. I mean,
you can't
what
have
are
Brie,
you
can you? You can't have Holgate because they're not there anymore. Oh, well, Brie is, but he's still not ready. So, yeah, the only other... I'm expecting Jack Stevens to start for either Bednarik or Harwood Bellis. That's one that we have to expect.
Yeah,
I think Magoma will start for Manning, which isn't such a bad thing. And then because I think Magoma was good, and then I would still play Kyle Walker-Peters if I'm being completely honest, because not just for lack of options, but because we want to win this game as well.
He definitely brings
midfielders. We've got a bad one to choose, and I do want to see Rothwell and David Brooks starting.
Charles, so you have Rothwell, Brooks, Charles.
Yeah. Although, do we want Charles as a centre back, possibly off the bench?
No, definitely not.
It's going to have to happen. It will have to happen. And then you've got to keep Adam Armstrong and Shea Adams up there somewhere, and possibly. I mean, do you think Stu's going to get another run out? Busy week for him. What do you think Fraser's going to go, or Adozie possibly?
I imagine Stu on the bench. Yeah, okay, Adozie, I could justify maybe. Yeah, there's already a lot of changes in there. But Adams and Armstrong need to start and then bring Mara on once it's won.
Yeah, what about Diblin? Do you think he gets a go again?
I mean, he was pretty average, wasn't he, in the
I don't think there was much he could have done differently, though, to be fair. I think there was a moment where he could have had a shot, but he decided to pass it back. But that's a confidence and experience thing, isn't it? I don't know, though. If he doesn't start with Dibbling, he won't bring him on. There's no way you're going to bring a Dibbling on to win a match if you need to, or even bring him on to shore up a win. The only way you're going to bring him on if Saints are like 3-0 up and it's 10 minutes to go, which I don't think is going to happen either. So if Dibbling's going to get any play, it's going to have to be from the start, I imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, if you start with Tyler Dibbling, that shows that he's really not taking this as seriously as he could do.
We've got two games this week, so there's that. And it's more important to chase this league.
Look, we got two games. One of them's against Watford and the other one's against Huddersfield. If you want to rest players, you can rest players for the league match as well. That's fine. Balance it up. Don't swap out the whole, everything that's working in this team. Don't swap it all out. Otherwise, you're left with a team that's not used to playing with each other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Our predictions, Kev, you're first.
My heart says my head says that we're going to lose this, but my heart says that we're going to keep it up. And I'm going to go with my heart on this one and say that we're going to win it 1-0. It's going to be tight.
Penalties for you then, which is good. No, thanks. Tim's actually siding with you. He's going 1-0 also. I'm going for a slightly edgier game, and I'm saying that we win this 2-1. I do think we come good. I do think we'll be good enough and too good for them. I do think Watford will be more interested in the league. And I think we'll I think we'll go 1-0 up and then we'll get pegged back, but we'll eventually get the winner. It'll be Adam Armstrong again, most probably.
Home advantage is going to be quite minimal on this one. I don't imagine it's going to be capacity crowd.
And with the away fans getting the advantage all the time, you know, so. Yeah, it's like an away game. But yeah, okay. So 3 wins for us then, that's cool. And then Huddersfield, the more important game, Kevin, on Saturday the 10th, that's also St Mary's, 3 o'clock kickoff, of course. This is a difficult one to judge, seeing as we don't know how Tuesday night will unfold. You have to think the priority is with the league. You must take care of business for promotion's sake, especially at home and against a team that's struggling right now. So it's a must. And I think all eggs in this basket, in my opinion. And I just think that they go all out. Well, I mean, what I would like to see at Watford is to go with a strong team, get the job done, go 2-0 up and be comfortable, then rest the players ready for this game. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see wholesale changes like you mentioned. So, yeah, again, it really does depend on what we do see at Watford. But I think a lot of top players will be rested for this game in mind.
And I'm not sure that's entirely necessary. They're not a good quality team in this league by any stretch of the imagination. New manager bounce for them. Yeah, thrashing Sheffield Wednesday 4-0 at home.
Well, they've had their bounce. They were all late goals as well, weren't they? So it was only, like, it was 0-0 half-time, I believe. And then all of a sudden it was just like boom,
that's right,
boom,
yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
About 15 minutes.
Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday obviously just switched off a little bit there, but yeah, they're not great, but they are starting to score some goals now, which is a bit of a worry. But where are they? They're like 21st in the league still. They're fighting QPR for that final relegation spot.
They're fighting for a relegation spot.
It's ours. I don't know. This one, we have to win this game as well, don't we? And then, you know, take that to 25. That would be then if we can do the job on Tuesday night. In terms of predictions, Tim is going first on this one. He's going for a 3-1. So, no, I'm going to stick with my gut, my original thing, and I'm going to take a 2-0 Saints. Another clean sheet.
I've got exactly the same as you. Another 2-0 win against relegation fodder.
Means we're going to get beat.
This time at home. Oh, shit.
Now that you've said that. Yeah, okay, so 2-0. I've got that penned in. Right, and then our Discord results, actually. Rotherham, everyone was getting points, apart from not very Slim Jim. So a whopping 6 getting a max with 2-0 wins. They are Kurt Supple, Kinners, Stufa, Greg Kaplan, Colt Baker and Greener. So, yeah, get your Watford and Huddersfield predictions in the Discord as soon as you possibly can. Super 6. Round 33 was won by Anthony Dark, Adrian Gowder and Kevin Jewell on 13 points. Round 34 is still ongoing with the Sunday games still yet to play. Overall lead is Andrew Knight. He's still running away with it. He's got 288 points. But Kev, how is fantasy football looking?
Good God. 35 points so far this week. Yes, he's still to play. Fuck me, my bench is 28 points on the bench.
Are you doing a bench boost?
No, unfortunately not. I think I haven't had a look at this for a while.
Saints women are losing, by the way, just to update you all. They are 1-0 down to Crystal Palace.
It's it. Still fifth in our Bodders League. Big league, familiar names. Josh Parkhouse in third with 1,361 points. Chris Bonas, Lavia Loca, 1,369 in second place. And Dan Buck still top. Only 5 points ahead now, but his absolutely fabulous on top of the league.
And Gaffer?
I've got 85 points this week, which sounds quite good.
That's good.
I wish Tim was here because he always just reels them off, doesn't he? still third in the league. T Bizzle's about 150 points.
No
ahead
one's
of
catching
me.
Him this year. That's damn, isn't it?
Well, it's between him and Tim Brucker. There's 5 points between them. By the way, do you want some nicknames for the teams that are coming up?
Go on, then I'll be nice.
Okay, Watford. How about the Hornies?
Okay.
The Moose Knuckles.
Why the Moose Knuckles?
They got a moose on their badge, haven't they? You never heard the phrase Moose Knuckle?
Remove my history after doing it.
You might have to turn off a safe filter or whatever it's called.
It's a men's puffer jacket.
Is it?
Oh, no. Okay, there's another meaning for it. yeah, I'm guessing that's what you mean. Yeah. Visible outline of a... yeah, I'm not going to say this. Okay, I'll let you all Google it if you don't know, but yeah, okay.
The Horny Moose Knuckles, the what for?
What for?
What are they there for? The yellow bellies?
You've got lots.
Okay, what about Huddersfield?
Yeah, go on.
You've got the puppies.
The terriers, aren't they?
The terribles and the udders.
Yeah, I had that one. But yeah, I like the what fors and I like... The puppies is good.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on them.
All right. That's okay. What we're going to call it.
So yes, next week, another busy one. Going over both those games, the midweek FA Cup replay against the Watfors, and the Championship clash at home to the puppies. And we'll be previewing both our trips to Bristol City and West Bromwich Albion. Any nicknames for them, Kev, would be good. A busy month, yeah. Just how we like it. So until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Open at Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.